The scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. Old Testament, in your pew Bibles, page 30, and in the children's Bibles, page 40 and 41 this morning. Let us hear the word of our Lord. The same night he, Jacob, got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford at the Yabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of its joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. Today, we're continuing our sermon series in the questions that God asks. We're looking at 12 questions that God asks throughout the Old and New Testament. And today, we're looking at a very important question. What is your name? From Genesis chapter 32. I love this story. Jacob is in the fight of his life. And that's saying a lot if you know his story. I love what goes on in this chapter, but who would have expected this? You know, when we think about living a deeply spiritual life, when we think about having a living encounter with God, this is not what we tend to picture that happens. At least I don't. When we talk about prayer or being a spiritual person, we think about being centered and at peace, maybe sitting quietly. I had some amazing times of prayer this last summer up in the Grand Teton National Park, sitting along these beautiful alpine lakes and streams, and the presence of God was so real, I didn't want to leave that place. When we think about that kind of encounter with God, we don't usually think about this kind of encounter with God that Jacob has. The main character in this story is a guy by the name of Jacob, and he's on his way home for the first time in 20 years. Jacob's got a brother whose name is Esau. They were fraternal twins. The last time that they saw each other, Esau threatened to kill Jacob, which is why Jacob wisely ran away from home. Jacob had cheated his brother not once, but twice. And now Jacob is on his way home, and Esau is coming out to meet him with 400 men. And in the middle of the night, Jacob has a very intimate, up-close encounter with God. But that's not the kind of encounter that I experienced up there under the Grand Tetons. It's a different kind of encounter with God. On the night before Jacob is supposed to meet his brother for the first time in two decades, when he's alone, when he's filled with fear, when he's wondering what's going to happen in the morning, when he meets his brother, right here in the middle of all of that, God jumps him and wrestles him to the ground. I don't know about you, but I love this about our God. That he would actually jump somebody and wrestle him to the ground. all of a sudden, right here in the middle of the book of Genesis, we're all of a sudden in the WWE Night of Champions. But this is not like that, because this is actually real. And they struggle. Sorry if I just shattered somebody's impression of professional wrestling. But, you know, God wrestles with Jacob. And they struggle with each other for hours. I had a roommate in college who was a high school wrestler who also went on to coach wrestling for a while. And when we were roommates at UC Santa Barbara, he would sometimes just jump me for no good reason at all and wrestle me to the ground. My friend, who is also now a Presbyterian pastor, could immobilize me in a few seconds. And in a couple of minutes, I was exhausted trying to fight him off. This wrestling match between God and Jacob went on all night long. Jacob does not get centered in this encounter with God. God knocks him off balance, which is an experience that you and I sometimes need. Jacob gets up, gets a super clear vision of some very important things that he needs to work on in his life, right in the middle of this wrestling match. This is not the kind of life-changing encounter that most of us expect to have with God, but this wrestling match turns out to be the turning point in Jacob's life. By the time we get to the end of this story, Jacob is a different person. Not a perfect person, not a person who's free from all his character weaknesses, but something very important has happened in his life. It's all gotten very personal for Jacob along the Jabbok River. And one of the things you and I are going to learn in this story is that it needs to get personal for you and me. Our faith has to become something so much more than a set of propositions to consider or maybe even argue about. It has to become something much more than that. How personal has your faith gotten? When we're talking about the God of the Bible, we're talking about drawing near to a God who can be wild. And drawing near to God can take courage. Jacob finds out that God is a wrestler. Your faith and my faith has to become something personal. And it becomes something personal when you realize that God is wrestling with you. When you start to consider that there are possibly things in your life that you may need to start doing or stop doing. When God starts bothering your private life, then you're in a situation like Jacob is in chapter 32. And that can be a really good and also a really exhausting experience. A couple of other things we're going to discover in this text is that all of this wrestling has purpose. God wants to speak a word of blessing into our lives. But sometimes, we're only going to be able to hear that word of blessing. We're in a place of weakness. Let's look at the text. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. Pull out your Bibles. That same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. And he had a ton of stuff by that point in his life. You may know this, but Jacob was a schemer. He always had a plan. He knew that he was going to face his brother and an army of men in the morning. So what does he do? He takes all that he has, his flocks, his herds, his family, and divides them up into different groups. And he's going to send waves of them to his brother Esau in order to try to bribe Esau. He will send wave after wave of animals and family members out in front of him. He will offer these animals to his brother to try to get his brother to calm down. Jacob was willing to sacrifice part of his family to save another part of his family and to save himself. Verse 24. Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. What is that all about? Jacob literally means he who grabs the heel. And Jacob got that name because when he came out of his mother's womb, he had a hold of his brother Esau's foot. During Rebekah's pregnancy, these two brothers wrestled with each other in her womb so much that she asked God, "What in the world is going on inside of me?" And God said, "Two nations are in your womb. two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. And listen to this. This is super important. The elder, that's Esau, shall serve the younger, that's Jacob. That's what God said to Rebekah before they were born. That was God's plan. And it went completely against the cultural expectations of the day. The oldest child did not serve his younger siblings. Jacob was God's choice from the beginning to be the child through whom God would bring the Messiah into the world. To really understand the significance of what is going on here, we're going to have to rewind the story. So do whatever you can to get all the brain cells you've got functioning today. You know, pull out a piece of paper, get a pen, you know, pull out your iPad, whatever it takes to, like, pay attention. It's going to be worth this little rewind on this story. If you look back in Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham, that's Jacob's grandfather, and said, "I intend to save the world through your family, Abraham. I'm going to send a Savior who will be one of your descendants, and he will bless the entire world." And God told Abraham that he would choose one person from each generation, and it would be through that line that God would bring a Savior into the world. So Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. That's an amazing story in and of itself. And God chose Isaac to be that child in his generation. Twin boys, are born to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau comes out first with Jacob holding his foot. Esau is the older child. But God says, "I have chosen Jacob to be the child through whom the Messiah will come." Isaac, the dad, did not like God's choice. He preferred Esau. Esau grows up to be a man's man. Apparently he was born as a hairy baby, which is kind of disturbing in and of itself. But he grows up to be a hairy man, sort of a man's man, a guy that his dad really loved more than he loved Jacob. Jacob was his mother's son. He tended to stay back and at home while Esau went out and did burly things or whatever hairy guys do. Isaac loved Esau more than he loved Jacob, and that was profoundly painful for Jacob. Isaac tried to get his way by hiding behind the cultural expectations of his day. The oldest child was the one who has received the special blessing of the father. But God said, "Jacob is my choice to be the one through whom the Messiah will come." Isaac said, "He's not my choice. Esau is my choice." So when Isaac is old, he wanted to put his affairs in order. He intended to bless his son Esau. But with his mother's help, Jacob dresses up like Esau. And because Isaac has lost his sight, Rebekah and Jacob trick Isaac into giving to Jacob the blessing Isaac had wanted to give to Esau. I think Jacob wanted so much to hear this word of love and affirmation and blessing from his father that even if it required that he trick his dad, he wanted to hear it that badly. You know, every single one of us needs to hear that kind of blessing from significant people in our lives. Every child needs to experience a blessing from both their father and their mother. These are different kinds of blessing, I'm convinced. The blessing a father gives and the blessing a mother gives. Both are so important. We all need to be blessed, and that's not something we can give ourselves. It has to come from outside of ourselves, from someone else. And we all grow up, let's be honest, with a blessing deficit in our lives. And sometimes we end up seeking a blessing in relationships or through personal achievements that only leave us more profoundly wounded. That was Jacob's story. And it's one of those painful moments, I think, in the Old Testament when Esau and Isaac discovered that they had been tricked. Esau pleads with his father, "Bless me, father. Don't you have anything left for me?" And Isaac is trembling, realizing what's happened. And he has nothing left to give because he's already blessed Jacob. And Esau, in his hurt and his rage, intends to kill his brother. That's the background to this story. That's why Jacob ran away from home. And as he was on his way to his uncle's house, Jacob did a bargain with God. As he's running away from Esau, Jacob goes to God and says, you know, if you bless me, if you make me successful, if you give me a large family, then you can be my God. Always bargaining. Always scheming. He's always got a plan. If you get me out of this mess, then I'll serve you. And what I'm so amazed by as we look at these questions is the God of grace. The God of grace blesses Jacob beyond his wildest dreams. And now here in Genesis 32, Jacob has decided to go home. He's found a way to get free of his scheming father-in-law. And now he thinks there's only one thing that's standing between him and the life he's always wanted. He must face the one person who has always been the main problem in his life, his brother Esau. He's going to have it out with his brother. He's going to get his life on track. But alongside the Jabbok River, something completely unexpected happens. With the sound of that stream in the background and under a canopy of stars, Jacob suddenly realizes that there is someone behind him. He wasn't alone. Nobody does a better job of Frederick Buechner than capturing what the wrestling match that God and Jacob have is really like. Listen to how he imagines Jacob's fight for his life in his book, The Son of Laughter. Out of the dark, someone leapt at me with such force that it knocked me on my back. It was a man. I could not see his face. His naked shoulder was pressed so hard against my jaw, I thought he would break it. His flesh was chill and wet as the river. He was Esau. He had slain all my sons. He had forged the river to slay me. Over and over, we rolled together into the reeds at the water's edge. And then I knew that these were not Esau's arm. It was not Esau. I did not know who it was. I did not know who I was. I knew only my terror and that it was dark as death. And I knew only that the stranger wanted was my life. For the rest of the night, we battled in the reeds with the Jabbok roaring down through the gorge above us. Each time I thought I was lost, I escaped somehow. There were moments when I seemed to be prevailing. It was as if he was letting me prevail. Then he was at me with new fury. But he did not prevail. For hours it went on that way. We could not see each other. We spoke no words. I did not know why we were fighting. It was like fighting in a dream. He outweighed me. He out-wrestled me. But he did not overpower me. He did not overpower me until the moment came to overpower me. When that moment came, I knew he could have made it come whenever he wanted. I knew that all through the night he had been waiting for that moment. I have lots of happy memories of wrestling with my nephews when they were little boys. When we had those little wrestling matches, there were some really important things that were going on as we wrestled together. They were discovering some things about themselves as they had this up-close encounter with their uncle who loved them. You know, I could have won every single one of those matches when they were 8, 9, and 10 years old. I could have won every single one of them easily, but I didn't. And we haven't had a wrestling match in a while with my nephews. They're bigger now, so I'm not sure how it would go today. But when they were 8, 9, and 10 years old, I held back in those wrestling matches as they struggled with me with all their might. There's something like that going on in this struggle in Genesis 32. Verse 25. Near daybreak, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck. I think the better translation of that Hebrew word is he touched. Sort of, bing, he touched his hip. The man merely touched Jacob on the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. When the man merely touched Jacob's hip socket, it was then that he realized who this was. For most of the night, it seemed like they'd been wrestling in the same weight class. They had battled all night long. But the truth is, they weren't in the same weight class. The man had voluntarily held back his strength. Verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for the day is breaking. Can you see this moment? They are covered in mud, exhausted. And Jacob has got hold of him, even though his head is hip socket, knocked out of joint. And the man says, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So the man said to Jacob, "What is your name?" There it is. The question of the God of grace. What is your name? That is an invitation to confession and to freedom. That is a gift of grace. That was an invitation for Jacob to admit all that he had done, all the ways that he had schemed to get his way. That was an invitation for Jacob to acknowledge all the ways that he had not trusted God and his love. And the man asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, he confessed. God certainly knew the answer to the question. "My name is Jacob. My name is Jacob." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But the man said, "Why is it you ask me my name? Come on, Jacob, you know who I am." And there the man blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. You do not want to see the face of this man in the bright sunlight. No one can see the face of God and live. "You know my name, Jacob. Who else could I be?" At that moment, when you would think out of self-preservation, as the sun was coming up, he would let this guy go, realizing who it is. But he doesn't. He will hold on to God. At that moment, when out of self-preservation, he should have let God go because the sun was coming up, Jacob refuses to release him. He's got God in his arms. He's not going to let go. He realizes in that place of weakness that it's only God who can give him the blessing that he needs. And that's true for all of us. Even if we have had the best parents on the planet, there is a blessing that all of us desperately need that only God himself can give us. And Jacob realizes that God is the source of his true blessing. "I don't care if it kills me. I am not letting you go until you bless me." Jacob realizes that he's been trying to get God to bless him through his possessions, through finding the right spouse, by having large flocks and herds. What he now realizes in this moment of weakness is that God himself is the blessing that he's looking for. Jacob wins in this wrestling match by admitting that everything that he had done up to that point could never give him the blessing that he desperately needed. Jacob wins by losing. He wins through weakness. And God wins in this wrestling match through weakness by limiting himself, by wrestling with Jacob in Jacob's weight class. By holding himself back, he was accomplishing his purposes in Jacob's life. And with his arms still wrapped around God, Jacob realizes who this is. And he realizes what his real problem is. And as the sun starts to come up, the man says, "Why are you still holding on?" Jacob thought his problem was Esau. Jacob tried to get from God what he wanted. He'd been fighting with God. And now he realizes that God is what he really needed. When God asks Jacob, "What is your name?" that's a moment of freedom. Because it's an opportunity for Jacob to tell the truth about his life. He had lived up to the meaning of his name. He had been a heel grabber, always trying to trip other people up to get his own way. And when Jacob tells God his name, God gives him a new name. He renames Jacob and blesses him. God said something to Jacob that we do not know. The text does not record it. We don't know what God said. But to hear God say, "You are my son. You are my daughter. I see you. I know everything about you. And I love you." There is nothing like that. Jacob should have been crushed in this wrestling match. But he wasn't. God held himself back. He made himself voluntarily weak. Jesus Christ became weak. Jacob held on to God to get a blessing for himself. But Jesus Christ held on to his Father on the cross to get the blessing for us. What is your name? Tell him the truth. He wants to change your name and bless you. Let's pray together. Now, God, we pray that we would again hear your word of blessing, hear your word of love, hear you called us your daughter or your son. Lord, as we hold on to you, Lord, speak those words of grace. As you ask us what our name is, give us the courage to tell the truth and help us to hear and trust your word of blessing, your word of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.